Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Courage to Act is a memoir by Ben S. Bernanke, who served as chairman of the Federal Reserve from 2006 to 2014. The book focuses on the global financial crisis of 2007 to 2008 and the early years of the Great Recession. It's explaining how the Federal Reserve responded to a breakdown in credit markets, collapsing financial institutions, and severe economic contraction. It combines personal recollection with policy history, making it part memoir, part insider account of crisis management, and part defense of the Fed's actions. Bernanke describes the intense pressure of leading the central bank through emergency lending, bank rescues, and unconventional monetary policy such as quantitative easing. He also reflects on institutional transparency, regulatory shortcomings, and the challenge of making decisions under uncertainty. The book is aimed at readers interested in economics, finance, public policy, and modern American history. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Bernanke reconstructs the financial crisis from inside the Federal Reserve. A central value of the book is its inside view of crisis management at the Federal Reserve. Bernanke does not present the 2007 to 2008 collapse as a simple event with obvious solutions. Instead, he shows how policymakers faced incomplete information, fast-moving market panic, and the possibility of systemic failure. The narrative emphasizes how decisions were made through Federal Open Market Committee meetings, emergency consultations, and constant monitoring of financial conditions. This perspective matters because it reveals the Fed as an institution acting under pressure rather than as an all-knowing authority. Bernanke's account also clarifies why the crisis required more than traditional interest rate policy. The book is useful for understanding not just what happened, but how central bankers weigh trade-offs in real time when the entire financial system appears vulnerable. Secondly, the case for unconventional monetary policy and emergency intervention. Bernanke devotes significant attention to the tools the Fed used once ordinary policy was no longer enough. These included large-scale asset purchases, liquidity support for markets, and emergency measures designed to stabilize financial institutions and restore confidence. The book explains why these interventions were considered necessary in a period when short-term interest rates were already very low. Bernanke's argument is that a central bank must sometimes act aggressively to prevent a collapse from becoming a depression-scale event. He presents these measures not as experiments for their own sake, but as responses to specific breakdowns in credit, lending, and market functioning. This makes the book especially important for readers who want to understand quantitative easing and crisis lending in context. The explanation is policy-oriented rather than abstract, linking each tool to a concrete problem in the economy. Thirdly, transparency, communication, and the Fed's changing public role. Another major theme is the Federal Reserve's evolving relationship with the public. Bernanke argues that one of his goals was to make the institution more transparent and more understandable to markets and citizens. Compared with the secretive style associated with earlier eras of the Fed, he supported clearer communication, including more regular press conferences and stronger guidance about policy goals. The book suggests that transparency is not just a public relations issue. It is a policy tool that shapes expectations and improves the effectiveness of monetary decisions. At the same time, Bernanke recognizes that greater openness can expose policymakers to criticism and political pressure. This tension is important because it shows central banking as both a technical and democratic institution. The reader sees why modern monetary policy depends on credibility, communication, and trust, not only on rates and balance sheets. Fourthly, regulatory failure, moral hazard, and the limits of pre-crisis policy. The memoir does not treat the crisis as purely the result of one central bank mistake, but it does acknowledge weaknesses in the broader regulatory environment. Bernanke points to inadequate oversight of large financial institutions and fragile mortgage market practices as major sources of vulnerability. At the same time, he is careful to argue that monetary policy alone did not create the housing bubble. This distinction is one of the book's most important analytical claims because it separates interest rate policy from supervisory failure and market excess. The book also engages the moral hazard problem raised by bailouts if the government rescues failing institutions. Does that encourage future recklessness? Bernanke's answer is pragmatic rather than idealistic. He accepts that rescue measures were distasteful but argues that allowing collapse would have produced a far worse outcome. This makes the memoir valuable for readers thinking about the long-term trade-offs between financial stability, accountability, and risk-taking. Lastly, a memoir of leadership, pressure, and moral courage in public service beyond policy. The book is also a personal account of what it means to lead during a national emergency. Bernanke traces his path from a small-town South Carolina upbringing to the chairmanship of the Federal Reserve, giving the memoir a strong autobiographical frame. Yet the personal material is always tied to institutional responsibility. he repeatedly emphasizes the need for moral courage, meaning the willingness to make unpopular decisions when the economic stakes are severe. This theme gives the book its title and its broader purpose. Bernanke presents public service as a discipline of restraint, judgment, and accountability, not as a platform for self-congratulation. For readers, this human dimension helps explain how crisis leaders think under pressure and why even highly technical decisions are shaped by character, temperament, and institutional duty. It also distinguishes the book from more detached histories of the crisis by placing the policymaker himself at the center of the narrative. In conclusion, The Courage to Act will be most valuable to readers who want to understand the financial crisis from the perspective of the central bank that helped manage it. Economists, finance professionals, students of public policy, and readers of modern history will find it especially useful because it combines memoir with institutional analysis. The book is not a general narrative of Wall Street excess alone. It is a detailed account of how the Federal Reserve confronted panic, designed emergency measures, and tried to prevent a deeper collapse. Its main practical benefit is that it explains how crisis policy is actually made under uncertainty, with incomplete data, and amid political criticism. Its intellectual benefit is that it clarifies the logic behind unconventional monetary policy, central bank transparency, and the trade-offs involved in rescue operations. Compared with similar books on the Great Recession, Bernanke's memoir stands out because it comes from the chairman himself and offers direct insight into Fed decision-making. Even readers who disagree with his conclusions can learn a great deal from the precision of the institutional account and the seriousness with which he defends the choices made during the crisis. If you would like to support Ben S. Bernanke, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.